The scripture reading for this morning's lesson will be taken from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Again, that's 1 Samuel 1, verses 1 through 5. And this can be found on page 256 in the Bibles that are in the pews provided for you. And it reads, "There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Penaniah. Penaniah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife, Peninnah, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb."
Good morning. It is a delight to see you this morning. Yes, I need to work on my possessives. But we are delighted to say Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. I know, you wouldn't have seen it if I didn't say nothing. Self-conscious, what can I tell you? It's good to see you this morning. It's a delight to be here. We're thrilled that you are as well. I'm glad somebody decided some time ago to honor mothers and to have a day for that. Maybe we need more days. What say you? Mothers are certainly worthy of honor. Glad we have a Father's Day too, though. It's coming. Dads, there'll be a sermon. Hooray, fathers. But not today. Hooray, mothers. Hannah. There are so many women we could have talked about. You know, the book right before 1 Samuel is Ruth. Could have talked about those fine ladies in that book. There are others, and we will at some point talk more about women. I was thinking this morning, maybe we'll just have a month of honoring women in the Bible. How about that? Five of y'all. How about that? I give you another chance. How about that? Reading through the Bible and reading through and considering the lives of women. I'm not a woman, and I don't pretend to be one. I don't even play one on television. But you don't have to be one to know there are challenges to being a woman. Even in this text, before we talk about honoring Hannah and some reasons we should honor women and mothers, some things just stood out in the reading, and some of those we'll note. I call them observations, reasons for honoring here in the text. These things are said about women in general. They're also said about mothers and so forth, but they just jumped out to me as I read through the text, and so I thought we should notice them. Number one, live in a male-dominated world. Women do. In this section of Scripture, verses 1 through 4, there are actually 9 men mentioned. You heard their names. They're found there in verse number 1. A man by the name of Elkanah. 1, the son of Jehoram. 2, the son of Elihu. The son of Tohu. The son of Zuph. And Ephrathite. 4 men right there, or 5 right in the first verse. Drop down to verse number 3. This man went up yearly to sacrifice in Shiloh, and 2 sons of Eli, 1, Hophni his son, Phinehas the other son. And then in verse 4 it says, Peninnah his wife had sons, plural. There are 9 plus men in a section of scripture where we're going to talk about a woman, Hannah. To say that women live in a male-dominated world, I'd say that's fair. In fact, this woman shares a husband. How about that? You know, this was not God's design that women live in a male-dominated world. It wasn't God's design that women share husbands. Genesis 2:24, God said, man should leave his father and mother and cleave unto his singular wife. Women live in a male-dominated world. Just an observation. And in this note, most often it's handled with grace, dignity, honor, and class. Point number two, women often suffer at the hands of other women. How sad is it that Hannah is suffering because of another woman? There is competition, there's comparison, and there's cattiness. It's seen here. Note verse 2. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had no children. There is competition, two wives, a rival. There is comparison. One has children, one does not. And then the cattiness is seen in verse 6 and verse 7. The Bible refers to Peninnah as Hannah's adversary. And what does she do to her? The Bible says she provoked her sore. You ever been provoked sore? I guess nobody is provoked well, are they? It describes the feelings that Hannah had. She made her to grieve and to mourn. She did it purposefully. The Bible says she did it to make her fret because she had no children. And then verse 7 says she did it constantly. As she did, so year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Point number two, just an observation. In the text where we're talking about women, we're talking about honoring this great mother, and we will. But it's hard not to observe that in the very text that's being done, and she lives in a male-dominated world, suffers at the hands of other women. Point number three, before we get to the sermon proper, let me just observe this. Her pain is often minimized. I shouldn't say that without certainty about Elkanah. I don't know his intention and his heart. I trust he did not mean to do Hannah any harm. But there are four questions, and in those questions, there seems to be, to me, a minimization. Is that a word? Minimization? Somebody said, yes, we're going with it. Minimization. I kind of like saying it now. I might say it one or two more times just for the sake of saying it. Minimization. Just throw that out there. Of her pain. Notice verse number 8 and these four questions. First of all, her pain is questioned. Look at verse number 8. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her. Now, what's she doing? Verse number 7, she's weeping. Why? Because she's vexed sore from this other woman. And Elkanah, her husband, says to Hannah, why weepest thou? What that question does is move her and cause her to have to answer for why she's suffering. To explain the pain, Hannah has devised a coping mechanism. It's seen in the very next question. Why eatest thou not? I don't know. Sometimes pain and suffering cause people not to want to eat. Maybe at the dinner table was Peninnah. She is weeping sore, but it has to be answered. Why weepest thou? Is there not a legitimate reason? Well, I don't know. Why are you doing that? With the idea of, why don't you stop it? Why aren't you eating? Well, she's devised a coping mechanism. For her, it's working. I'm not going to eat. But then there's this third question. And why is thy heart grieved? It forces her to defend her own pain. Why are you grieved? Brings up the final question in the verse. Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? At least in my mind, carries the idea of we should move on now. How many women suffer in that way? There's something in her life causing her pain. There's difficulty, hardship. She's handling it. You don't hear any complaints from Hannah. You don't hear any name calling. You don't hear any disruption of the feast. You don't hear her making any outward gestures or signs. Nothing she's doing. What she is doing is coping, dealing with it. And now she's forced to explain and defend her actions and on some level move on. Am not I better to you than 10 sons? Apparently not. Would that suddenly stop her from grieving? She's still grieving. Doesn't she know she has a husband? Apparently his question then seeks this idea. Let's move on. Those are just three observations I noticed as we moved on and get ready to actually discuss the material. I was trying to get to Hannah and why we should honor her. And then I thought, wow, that must be tough. To live through those kinds of situations and dynamics and still behave in a way that's worthy of being honored. And she does. Six reasons Hannah does that. Six things she does that are worthy of honor. And I would say then all mothers are worthy of these things who do them. I realize when I stand before you and say 6 points from here, what that must sound like to people who brought their mamas today and are ready to go eat. But your mama didn't get all dressed up pretty just to sit here shortly. She planned to stay an hour. She did. She invested. I'm just kidding. Six things Hannah did. What are they? Makes her worthy of honor. Number one, she prayed to the Lord. She is in the middle of this plight and she prayed. In fact, the word prayer is used or some form of it frequently in the text. Look at verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul. And what did she do? She prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Down in verse number 12, it came to pass that she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Over in verse number 15, Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." It continues, verse 26, as well as verse 27. She said, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, I am the woman that stood before thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed." Mothers are worthy of honor because they spend a lot of time in prayer to the Lord. I don't imagine they could calculate how many hours, how many times they have their hearts poured out before the Lord for their children because they love them so. Point number two, she promised to the Lord. She prayed to the Lord and she promised to the Lord. Verse 11 says, she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." Hannah prayed to the Lord and pleaded, poured out her heart to the Lord. "Please give me a child, give me a son, and if you give him to me, I'll give him to you." All over this world, no mother wants anything more for her children than that right there. There are mothers who are desiring that their children have the Lord. And Hannah says, "I'll give mine back." If you are a mother, give your child back to the Lord. If you plan to be a mother one day, make this your goal and your pledge. "I'm going to give my children back to the Lord." I suppose one of the things they pray about frequently is the fact that their children will find and know the Lord. They are largely charged with that training. Number three, she found peace because of the Lord. Verse number 18. After Eli and she have this conversation in which she assures him, "I'm not drunk." Verse 18 says, or Eli says in verse 17, "Go in peace. The Lord grant you your petition." Verse 18 says, and she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. May it be said of every mother, they take their burdens to the Lord, and that was your chance. And they leave them there. She has peace. She prayed to the Lord. She promised to the Lord. She found peace because of the Lord. Are you seeing a theme in Hannah's life? The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. The next thing she did was she followed through. She returned her son to the Lord. In fact, verse 28, the family goes up year after year, and they continue that. If you start reading at verse 23, Elkanah continues to go up, but she says, I will not go up until the child is weaned. And when he is, verse 28, therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. Verse 27, the Lord gave him to me. He answered my prayer. Since he gave him to me, then I have lent him to the Lord. I am returning him. I'm loaning him. I'm giving him back to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. As we open up the very next chapter, Hannah then, well, she rejoiced in the Lord. As you read chapter 2 and go forward, verse number 1, the end of that verse says, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. Hannah returned him to the Lord. She rejoiced in the Lord. And Hannah remained engaged in her son's life. Her son becomes one of the great prophets in Israel, Samuel. He becomes the bridge between the book of Judges and the period of Judges and the period of the kings. In fact, Samuel is the last king, the last judge, and Samuel is the one who anoints the first kings. Samuel is a prophet, a priest, and a judge. When Hannah brought him back to the temple, the tabernacle, when Hannah brought him back, she remained engaged. Notice over in the chapter 2, verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Hannah remained engaged in her son's life. Mothers, there is no statute of limitation. If indeed you have been blessed with children, please remain engaged in the life of your young people. We honor mothers this day. May there be more days for honoring them. May we do it every day. They are certainly worthy of it. And we see before us in the life of Hannah, 6 things that she did. Every mother who is godly and righteous does and is certainly worthy of honor. She prayed. She promised. She found peace. She returned him. She rejoiced and she remained engaged. What a wonderful day we have to honor mothers. Not a Christian this morning, become one. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and repent of your sins. God has a plan of salvation. That plan is to all men, and it's for whosoever will, let him come. God is the God who will have you back no matter what you've done. Please don't allow sin in your life to allow you to believe or lead you to believe that you are beyond the goodness of God. There is no human so bad that God's goodness won't reach. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24. Repent, make up your mind, turn, change, give your allegiance to God, give your allegiance to Jesus. Confess the name of Christ and be immersed in water, buried with him, Romans 6:3-4, to walk in newness of life. If we were interviewing mothers this day, and their children were not in the Lord, and they had one request, I guarantee you this. They would request that their children could get to know Jesus before eternity comes. Don't come to know Jesus because of your mother. Come to know Jesus because you need your sins washed away, and he's the only one who can do it. But I guarantee you this, no one will rejoice with you more than the mother who bore you, prayed for you, and loves you. Not a Christian, become one. If you are, come home. Your Father loves you so. This evening, Lord says the same. We're going to talk about God as our Father. He has blessed us to be parents, and God is our parent, and there is certainly a correlation. I hope you'll come back for that study. Hope you'll come back to worship your Father who is in heaven. He loves you so much. Luke 15 is in the Bible, at least for this reason. Because if you come home, the Father will meet you. He'll wrap his arms around you. He'll give you the best that heaven has to offer. He'll cleanse you and make you whole again and welcome you back to his family. Friends, if you have that need or any other, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.